Thank you. Feel this way, Dylan. Oh. And so I am too. So I've got to turn it off this interview.
Of course I have.
Can't go to Storeland. E-3-O-U-8.
Victor Alpha 3. Victor Whiskey X-Ray, standing by for the Science Net.
There we go. Now we've reconnected it. I wonder why RHA was disconnected. Righto, over to, I think it was VK7. Is that you, Ross? Some reason got disconnected from VK3HKQ for the WIA / I'm moderating yourself as VK2WI Morning News Callback. Please go ahead if you're still there. Looks like he's gone. Don't know why they why Alan disconnected the link there. But anyway, I think it was Ross that was in there, so we'll put him on the list anyway. All right, we're down the bottom of the list again, so let's see if we've got... Oh, don't forget tonight, 7.30 local time, Australian Eastern Standard Time, or 09.30 Zulu. They'll be running the extended version of the Amateur New South Wales news, and I'll be doing the callbacks for that. So that's 09.30 Zulu for people overseas, and 7.30 local time here in Australia. All right, now the stage is left to check in. This is John VK3HJQ for the morning news callback.
Is there a Science Net tonight, V3RWJ?
All right, I've got a couple of stations in there. Just go over to the other station. It was a VE something RWJ. Yeah, the Science Net's on. I think it starts at midday. Robert might be able to tell us when I put it over to him. I think it's 12 noon, which is about... or maybe it started already. Maybe it started 3 minutes ago, and we'll queue us well as I finish going up in here. So I think it starts at 11 a.m. local time. Just over to you quickly, Robert. Did it start 4 minutes ago?
Yeah, VK3HJQ, VK2DY, yes, it started about 4 minutes ago.
All right, there you go. So as soon as we finish yapping here, we'll queue us over to the Science Net. So if that answers that station's question. Right, and we had somebody coming up on CN Towers, VA3RCI-R, and it was just unreadable. So we'll have another go with you, and then we'll head over to Robert. So the station coming up on the CN Towers repeater in Toronto, VK3HJQ. Please go ahead. Yeah, I've got two stations in there. The first one was just totally unreadable, and then I got something with Oscar something in it. There's always a problem with that repeater. The audio is just woeful from it for some reason. We'll try the first station again and then the second station on CN Towers, and if we can't get anybody in, we'll just have to go over to Robert. So the first station, just key up for a couple of seconds before you talk, and we'll see if we can get in. You're dropping in and out really badly. This is John VK3HJQ for the morning news callback. Please have another go.
HJQ, would you let the Science Net start? I've got a wire call again.
Oscar, Uniform America. My name is Willie John. Hope you hear me a little bit better. Sorry about that.
Righto, got you in there. Victor Echo 3, Oscar Uniform Alpha. Is that Rudy? I think it is. Yep, I think that's you. And for the other station, we will go over the Science Net soon as we're finished here. We'll be finished in about 5 minutes and we'll first wire to the Science Net over in Canada. VE3, I think I've got the numbers right at the start. OUA from VK3HJQ. Please go ahead. Good morning. Got you this time.
Well, John, how can I say it? Good night. Anyway, I have no topic for you, but you're solid. Very, very, very good. Hopefully you'll hear me better. Hey, Oscar.
Yeah, not a problem. I've got you in that time. Yeah, there's always seems to be problems with that repeater. I don't know why. So anyway, thanks for popping in there this morning. I don't know if you were the first or the second station or those two different stations there, but the first station we just couldn't get in at all. So we'll break with you. Thanks for popping in. And let's go over to Robert. And thanks for number 7 of Doctor Who, Robert. I'm just downloading that at the moment. VK3. VK2DY from VK3HJQ. Please go ahead. Morning.
VK3HJQ, VK2DY, Robert in Northwestern Sydney. Yeah, it was quite a good episode, actually. A lot of deep lore bringing back there from the old classic series. So I think you'll enjoy it. It's been, the whole season's been enjoyable. Anyway, other than that, ScienceNet, yeah, at 11 usually starts. And
this is WA1EAW. This net has priority, I believe. They've been a long running, and the ScienceNet is starting at 8 p.m.
It's already started, but I can't find it. I'm not sure what's going on.
Hey, Fuzzy, Chris, if you're away.
Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-Ray. I'm just getting Ken to come over here. Give me a second.
Thanks, Tom.
Chris, does John HGIQ run a net on the Canada Hub regularly? Is this a time slot that he normally runs on there? VO1UKZ.
I don't know. Usually they're carrying the science net. It starts at 9 Eastern.
Keep getting the wires crossed.
Yeah, usually they run their net at that time, but does that net broadcast on the Canada Hub as well?
I always thought the science net was on the Canada Hub. I'm coming through a repeater in Burlington, Ontario, and we usually connect to the Canada Hub for the science net. So, not sure. I don't know. The Australians are trying to take over.
This is VH3KN. Chris, I got you there, VH3RWJ. This is VH3KN, Ken here, Science and Tech Net. Any stations out there, if you'd like to join us, come on in.
Here is Victor Yankee 1, Michael Sierra, Michael in Yukon.
Here's Victor Oscar 1, Uniform Kilo Zulu, down here on the rock in St. John's, Newfoundland, just an in and out this evening, 7-3. From VO1 UKZ, Daryl on the rock.
UKZ, have you checked in too?
Oh, UA, hello.
Check you there too, and good to hear you, and good to know you got home okay.
Very much, Cam. I appreciate you very much. And you guys really put a good party. Good stuff.
And this is VHV Ken. Ken here, Science and Tech Net. If you'd like to join us, come on in.
Brief for you there, Ken.
Oh, got you there, VE1EP.
Victor Alpha 3, Foxtrot, Mike Bravo.
Wayne, VH3FMB, got you there as well. And any additional stations, come on in. Ken here, VH3CAT, Science and Tech Net, for this Saturday evening.
Two, Foxtrot
Alpha, KJ5, Bravo, FOX,
Foxtrot Alpha, Carl,
Idaho,
New Jersey.
Oh, I got you there, KD2FA, and there was another station there who was AJ5, if you come in one more time.
Kilo, Juliet 5, Foxtrot, Oscar, X-Ray, KJ5, FOX, Chad, Hutto, Texas.
Got that one more wrong, but I got you the second time around. Thanks for coming back.
King Baker 3, Japan, Queen, Queen. Evening, Ken.
Yes, Scott got you in too.
Kilo Charlie Wood, Uniform, Romeo, Victor, Verma, and Boston.
One, URV, have you checked in?
Kilo Oscar 4, Delta X-ray, Quebec, KO4DXQ, Bob, Tennessee.
I've got you there, KO4DXQ. Audio is a bit low tonight, but I managed to pick you up. Any additional stations? I'll take a few more stations, then we'll run through the topics for this evening, and then I'll pause after that for any additional stations, and we'll move into the main topics for tonight. So VH3 Cans can hear, come on in.
Whiskey Niner, Echo Alpha Alpha.
And that's it. Can you come in one more time? I got Alpha Alpha.
Whiskey Niner, Whiskey Niner, Echo Alpha Alpha, Marty, Iowa.
Net Control, this is Kilo 6, Alpha, Alpha, November. Kilo 6, Alpha, Alpha, November.
November 2, Mike, Julia, Zulu, Fred, and Florida.
Yeah, we'll get together, Robert, if you want to connect us in.
Thanks for making more calls for check-ins. Just going to run through the topics for tonight. And then I'll see if there are any additional check-ins. Then we'll start the main topics right after that.
VK3HJQ. And sorry, Ken, if we interfered with you before, we're running the call back here, and one of the other stations have connected up, so I don't know whether we're linking to the science net then as Ben or not, over.
That's a little misleading the way I put it there, but they were microbes that were found on it prior to sending it up. They thought they had the satellites and things completely clean, but they discovered right just before they were getting ready to send it that it wasn't. China Space Station has an unknown strain of bacteria on board, and Einstein might have been wrong in quantum gravity if quantum gravity works out. Venus might still be geologically active, and the number of satellites orbiting the Earth, there's a report coming about that. And the T-Rex may have actually originated in North America. There's a lot of debate going on exactly where T-Rex started. They thought maybe at some point it crossed over a land bridge and come into North America, but now they're thinking it may have just developed in North America and expanded through Europe, et cetera. And K2, 18B, may not have life. There's some doubts around the chemical signature that's come up. VA3FMB, we were talking about that earlier today, so I thought I'd put that in there for you tonight. And the last one here, why haven't birds grew as big as, let's say, a T-Rex? I mean, they are descendants from dinosaurs, avian descendants of dinosaurs, so why haven't they grown as big as T-Rex? They do have the possibility to do that. They can, but there's a reason why they haven't. And that's it for the topics for tonight. And Tom will be coming with a climate update tonight. He'll be doing something a little bit different, I believe, on St. Helens, the volcanic eruption. And before we start things off, any additional stations, come on in. Ken here, VH3KX.
VK3HJQ.
VE1WIN. Victor X with the Indian November.
I got the VK3HJQ. VK3HJQ, I got you in there. I think I may have stepped on you a little bit, but I got you in.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. I think we were cross-linked there before while we were doing our news callback, so sorry about that if we were interfering. VK3HJQ, good morning.
John, not to worry. Yeah, that's fine. Not to worry. Things happen, so no, I'm okay. Additional stations like to join us? Come on in. Can't hear VU3KX.
Here is Victor Yankee 1, Michael Sierra. VY1MGS, Michael, in the Yukon. Greetings, Ken, and everyone on that.
Michael, my apologies. I don't think I acknowledged you when you came in earlier, and there may have been a few folks I didn't. Let me just make sure I did. There was a VE3WVZ, VE3QRQ, VE3ZVX, VE3ERZO, VE3GFX, and VE3RWJ, and then you came in a little bit earlier, VY1M. Yes, I've got you in. All right, thanks, Mike. unless if there's any other stations, come on in, then we'll start things off. And then after I get through the beginning of the net here, I'll just before I have Tom come in, I'll stop for some additional check-ins, and then right after that, Tom will be giving his presentation. And after that, we'll get into the main topics tonight. In fact, I think before we do the main, before Tom comes in with his presentation, I think we'll just, I'll just go through In the Sky This Week in the Science Trivia Corner, then we'll have Tom come in. Any additional stations, come on in.
This is Kilo Romeo 4 Echo Bravo Tango, Jason in the Tampa area. Good evening to everybody. That's KR4EBT.
Jason, I have you in there too, KR4EBT.
Alpha, Alpha 4 Hotel India, AA 4HI Chuck in North Carolina.
I've got you there too.
VK2, Bravo, India, Oscar. Name is Mike, New South Wales, Shoalhaven, Australia.
I got VK2, was it India? Could you come in more, with your suffix? Just your suffix. I got the rest of it. You just come in with your suffix.
VK2, Bravo, India, Oscar.
Got you that time. Thanks for coming back. All right, let's start things off here, and once I'm through, I'll make another call for some stations, and after that, Tom can come in for this evening. I always start off with some solar data, UTF propagation, etc. Solar wind, 429 kilometers a second, 6 protons per cubic centimeter, solar flux index 122, 122 sunspots, up a little bit from last week. AR 4087, we had 92, AR 4090, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, right to about 98. None of the sunspots right now are all that big, and none are actually facing towards us. So we have been getting a lot of solar activity out of late in the interference with the radio band. HR propagation, not too bad right now, 80 to 40 meters during the day, fair, good at night, 3 and 20, good both day and night, 17, 15, good both day and night, and 12 and 10, fair during the day and poor at night right now. That takes me to space debris. Overhead, today in my location, 1,890 objects were going overhead, and globally, 30,505 are tracked today, and this number is going up all the time. We'll talk more about the satellite problem a little bit later on during the net. Asteroids always include a few of these on the other net. We've been trying to get a few of these on the other net, or closest to Earth, referred to as near-Earth objects. We had 2025 KK1, 1.3 lunar distance away. Lunar distance is the distance the Moon is away from us, so 1.3 times that. 21.7 kilometers a second, clipping along pretty good there. 6 meters in diameter, not huge. And another one we had today, just dropping. 2025 km, 4 lunar distances away, 3.6 kilometers a second, and 8 meters in diameter. And I try to, and I'm not always successful, but I try to each week to include at least one of them, usually the biggest of the asteroids, in as a theoretical impact, so I'd like to put impact data in there just in case that if it were to hit us. None of these have the potential, even if they were, neither one of those would likely even make it through the atmosphere, but I always like to include for some of the bigger ones how it affects us if it impacted us. I might be able to do that as the net goes on. I'll maybe take the biggest one here, 2025 KM, which was 8 meters, so I'm just going to put a tick beside that one. I'll see if I can work that out before I go too much further with the net. All right, I'm just going to head over to In the Sky This Week, and then the Science Review Corner, and then Tom can come in with his presentation for this evening. And for those of you who like to try your visual acuity, you go and take a look at Ursa Major, the Big Dipper. It's out these evenings, and it's a great place to check how sharp your eyes are. There's two stars. One is within the Big Dipper, Mizar, and it has a companion star. It's a, this is referred to as a... this is referred to as a binary system, and its binary pal, or its companion, is Alcor. This isn't a physical double, meaning that its companion is attracted to it gravitationally, but it's an optical double. It just happens to look close to it. It's Alcor. So if you're out, take a look at Mizar. It's the second from the end of the handle of the Big Dipper. There's Alcade, then there's Mizar, and Alcor. You might be able to see it. It's look around, maybe around the 10 o'clock position. Maybe you'll see it there. It's rather faint, close to the star. And there used to be a test, just dropping. The Egyptians and Greeks used to use that as a test. Even the North American natives used that as a test to qualify their warriors. If they were a person qualified as a warrior, if they could see this star, mean their vision was good enough to be a warrior. So you used to use it for that. So go take a look, see if you can spot it. The darker the night sky, the better chances you have to see it. As well, right now up in North America here, you may be able to see a bit of this tomorrow morning. They shouldn't be separated by too much, but today, I'm pretty sure you're going to see them tomorrow as well. Get up about 45 minutes before sunrise, and you'll be able to see the Moon, Venus, and Saturn. Yeah, they're in a bit of a conjunction. They're fairly close. If you had a small scope or some astronomy binoculars, maybe around 20 by 80, you may be able to see Neptune in between Venus and Saturn. And the Hercules cluster within the constellation Hercules, that's great. Get a, take a look at that if you can. Need a small scope for that. Astronomy binoculars maybe not so great for that, but if you have a small scope and larger, get out, take a look at M13. There's about 100,000 stars in this cluster. It's about 25,000 light years away from us. And these are some of the oldest stars in the universe. They formed very, very early on. And this cluster sits just on the outskirts of our Milky Way. So go take a look at that. Get yourself an astronomy map. You can get those on the internet. Just do a Google search. And for the Hercules constellation, and it should point out where M13 is. So go take a look at that if you find that interesting. Before I head over to the science trivia corner, not a lot there for tonight, either the quiz or the trivia portion, but before we head into that, any additional stations would like to check in with us, come on in, can hear the H-E-K-X.
Victor, Echo 1, Echo Papa, I got a short report for you there, Jet.
Emil, come on in with us.
Thank you, Ken. For March 24th, today we're monitoring 264 balloons that are circling the Earth. 51 actually beacon today so far. We had 15 new launches there yesterday. We now have 3 balloons over British Columbia, 1 over Manitoba, 2 over Saskatchewan, and 1 just north of Ottawa. It's a VE2. Zulu Delta Kilo is just over Ottawa. Take a pause. Alpha Charlie 3, Alpha Uniform. He actually launched 8 Pico balloons and testing multiple frequencies on 10 meters, 12 meters, 15 meters, 17 meters, and 20 meters. I'm not sure what the exercise is for, but anyway, Kilo Delta Oscar Alpha W Kilo. He had 5 altitude balloons launched on the same day. Sierra Papa Zero Lima November Delta actually has 11 Pico balloons circling the Earth at this time. That's just about it for now, Ken, and the daily updates you're seeing on my QRZ page. And thanks for sharing, and 73 all.
Emil, VE1EP, you're quite welcome, and you're welcome from every science net with information on the on your Pico balloons, the information you have on the Pico balloons. So 15 new launches as of yesterday, and what you were saying there are 8 lost balloons. All right, thanks, Emil. And folks, you can check his Emil's webpage on QRZ and information on the Pico balloons and some other things there too. All right, thanks, Emil. Any additional stations before we get into the science trivia corner? Come on in.
Victor Echo 3, Sierra Sierra Romeo.
Victor Echo 3, Kilo Delta Charlie.
Good to hear you this evening, and I just have to say once again, I'm very impressed with your setup in your vehicle there with your radios. Good to see you today. I got you checked in. Now, there's another station there I double booked. Would you like to come back in?
Might have been me there, Ken. Victor Echo 3, Kilo Delta Charlie.
Yeah, Omar, I've got you checked in as well.
Victor Alpha 3, Quebec, Bravo Romeo Mobile.
We got Quebec, Bravo Romeo.
Yeah, it sounds like you'd possibly be taking check-ins if you're KC8, Fox Queen Victor, Mark United States.
Mark, I've got you in as well. All right, we'll hold it here for now, and that'll stop for some additional check-ins or even comments, and then we'll see if Tom's ready for this evening. For those of you unfamiliar with this, there's a quiz and a trivia. The quiz isn't necessarily a quiz. It's just an FYI, and I pose the FYI. The trivia is just a bit of a quiz, so it's more of just an FYI than anything. And then after that, I've got three just straight trivia items for tonight. The first one here, and the first two for the quiz, is tied into the Tom's presentation for tonight about volcanoes. I think his presentation is mainly on the St. Helens eruption. And so with that, I'm not going to give anything away about his presentation, but I thought this might sort of kickstart things into it. The first one here, and this is about kilotonnage with the Hiroshima bomb and the Nagasaki bomb related to volcanic eruptions. And these are minuscule, absolutely minuscule compared to a large volcanic eruption. But the Hiroshima bomb, how many kilotons was that, and how many kilotons was the Nagasaki bomb?
The first one was 25 kilotons, KB3JQ here. I forget the next one.
You say 25 kilotons. I think you said it was for the first one. Okay. Anyone else like to try? For this one, Hiroshima, 15,000 tons of TNT, so 15 kilotons. Nagasaki is 21 kilotons, 21,000 tons. But Nagasaki had less damage than Hiroshima simply because where it come down in a bit of a valley, which helped sort of scoop up and push up instead of going sort of going laterally. It ended up going, the explosive force tended to go somewhat vertically. So although it was on higher kilotonnage, it did less damage. And the reason I brought those up tonight is both of those are much, much smaller in comparison to let's say Mount St. Helens, and more on that a little bit later on than that. The largest volcano in the solar system, where might that be located?
Mars, Mount Olympus.
What would that be?
Sorry, should I D myself, B3KDC?
Jupiter, V3QBR.
That's for Jupiter. Someone said Jupiter.
V3RWJ. ChatGPT says it's Olympus Mons on Mars.
All right, I got that. So Olympus Mons. I didn't catch that. So I assumed when he said Olympus that's what he meant. I was just trying to get him to clarify earlier, but Olympus Mons. This one here, it is. And actually, it's Olympus Mons. Yeah. It's on Mars, 27 kilometers high, or 16 miles high. So it's huge. a huge dormant pole volcano. That's it for the quiz. A trivia now, just straight trivia for you. And I mentioned dinosaurs earlier on about why haven't birds gotten as big as some of the biggest dinosaurs. And the first bird actually recorded was just in the transitional state of from the dinosaurs into the avian family, the Archaeopteryx. And it existed about 150 million years ago, and actually it existed in the Jurassic period, and it had flight and tail feathers. And it may not have been totally flight worthy. You may have jumped from tree to tree like, let's say, a flying squirrel, but it was the transitional phase. So, Archaeopteryx. The second one here, this ties into one of the topics tonight. The birds are direct descendants of the theropods. Theropods are two-legged dinosaurs like the T-Rex, one of the surviving members of the dinosaur family, although their relatives are very ancient, but the birds are direct descendants of those. And cats were first domesticated 10,000 years ago. And that's it for the trivia. Science Trivia Corner for this evening. I'm going to stop here just for a moment, see if there are any additional check-ins here for tonight. This is the A3 Cat, Ken here, Science and Tech Net. Come on in.
Kilo Bravo 8, Bravo Mike Yankee, KB8 BMY, Mike near Olympia.
And glad you checked in. Thanks for joining us.
This is KI5UIN, Zulu Yankee November, Jason in South Central Texas.
I've got you checked in too. I think at this point, let's see if Tom is ready. Tom, VA3DWI.
Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray returning. Let me just turn down the audio over here. Could I get a quick signal report there, Ken?
You're coming in just fine. Good audio coming in nice and clear.
All right, thanks for that, Ken. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, depending on where you are. My name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. The call sign here is Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray, or Victor Echo 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray, whichever you prefer. And I do the week weather every week on the Science Net. And this week, we have I painstakingly put together a special presentation on Mount St. Helens. 45 years since the anniversary of the last eruption, which was May 18th, 1980, big eruption. Before we get into that, let's talk about some active weather right now. Let me drop it. So the first place of interest right now is Eastern Australia, particularly New South Wales. They've been significantly impacted by severe flooding. And it's some incredible numbers. So the areas that were impacted were the mid-north coast, Hunter Valley, and parts of the north coast, central coast, and even parts of Sydney. And what happened was there was a slow-moving low-pressure trough that was interacting with the warm Tasman Sea, that's the ocean to the east of those locations. And essentially you had this atmospheric river that developed, and it flowed into the land, and of course there was a multi-day rain event that broke numerous records, and there was all sorts of flooding. Let me give you some of these numbers. So the deluge started around May 19th, and it continued through the 24th, which is today, although things have eased. The exceptional records came in from Comboyne Public School. They recorded 704 millimeters, that's 27.7 inches in 4 days. Mount Seaview, they received 686.6 millimeters, that's 27 inches over the same 4 days, and 614.2 millimeters, that's 24.2 inches in 72 hours. So a lot of rain, and that was more than four times that station's, Mount Seaview station's, monthly record for May, and it exceeded its previous May record from 1980, so they saw four times more rain than they would see in the month of May. And Taree Airport, they saw 603.6 millimeters. That's 23.8 inches over 4 days. It's just some incredible numbers here. And they're not the only ones. Some of the 24 to 48 hour totals. Moreland Creek, 449 millimeters. That's almost 18 inches. Moppy Lookout, 436 millimeters, that's 17 inches. It's just some huge numbers. Let me drop it. And sadly, the information I have so far is that five people, they've tragically lost their lives in flood-related incidents, and that includes some individuals whose vehicles were swept away and a farmer who died while trying to protect some livestock. Property damage at this point in time, the estimate is that over 10,000 properties have been affected by the flooding, primarily in the central and northern part of the territory. And the Insurance Council of Australia has already received over 1,600 claims, and they're obviously expecting thousands upon thousands more. And so far, 50,000 people were isolated by floodwaters due to cut-off roads and damaged infrastructure. And there are lots of I don't have a number for it, but obviously there are many people in evacuation centers. And there was some major flooding along coastal rivers. The Manning River at Taree, that got up to 6.4 meters, that's 21 feet. And that broke a record that it set in 1929. And the McLay River at George's Creek climbed up to 9.71 meters. That's 31.9 feet, well above its moderate flood threshold. And then other rivers like Patterson, Williams, and Bellinger, they also had significant rises. And the Kempsey River, it got up to its major flood level at 7.11 meters. So some significant runoff effects affecting the river flood levels. And really quickly, lastly here, these numbers are just insane. New South Wales, what am I going to call them? The state emergency services, they conducted over 760 flood rescues since the event began, and they had more than 7,000 calls for assistance. So there have been hundreds of rescues and people pulled from all sorts of dangerous situations by boats and helicopters, and there was about 2,500 emergency workers and Australian Defence Forces personnel that have been deployed to the area to help. So it's been really, really bad. And a key transport route, which was the Pacific Highway, that's closed due to inundation and landslides that have occurred. And there's still, at this point in time, over 5,000 homes that don't have power. And that also affects cell phone service and other things. So a huge flooding event unfolding in Australia. Let me drop it. I know we have some Aussies on the net. I don't know, has anybody that takes part in the Science Center, is there anybody out there that's been affected by the flooding? This is Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray. Okay, I guess not. Nobody in Australia on the net that's been affected by the flooding, so that's good. Things are subsiding, but there's still numerous warnings in place, and you know, the cleanup and recovery is going to take a long time. Okay, moving over here quickly, the Northern Tornadoes Project, we've had another tornado, a tornado over land. This one was, so we're up to six tornadoes in Canada. On the 16th of May, there was one that occurred in Lakeside, BC, which is near Vanderhoof. So that was one over there. Let me just get you the numbers over here. And there was Lakeside was Ontario. What am I talking about? Lakeside was Ontario. That was a tornado. Vanderhoof, BC, they had a tornado as well. So Ontario had its first tornado. And then, of course, we have Sperling, Manitoba, Turon, Manitoba, St. Zenon, Quebec, and Rolling Hills, Alberta. So six tornadoes, eight wind events so far this year for us that the Northern Tornadoes Project has looked at. So the numbers are slowly coming up, but it's still very early in the season here. However, in the U.S., it's a different story. Let me drop it. Yeah, it's been really busy. Last week, we spoke about the tornado that hit St. Louis and some other places. So on May 18th, there was a Great Plains tornado outbreak, Kansas. They saw six tornadoes that had an EF3 rating, which included areas impacted were Grinnell, Plevna, South Central Kansas. Of the six tornadoes that they had that were large, five of them were EF3 tornadoes, that's what I should have said. And then they had some other smaller ones that aren't in this count, that are EF1 and EF2. Some big tornadoes in Texas. Gordon, Texas, they had an EF1. And Arnett, Texas, some huge hail, 4.5 inches, that's 110 millimeters, 11 centimeters in diameter, huge. And Higgs, Texas, they also had a tornado there. And On the 19th, the tornadoes continued, this time impacting Oklahoma. They rate tornadoes in the National Weather Service Tulsa office's jurisdiction. And there was another one near Blanco, which is in Pittsburgh County, and also one near Fairfield. And then Arkansas, they had five tornadoes over there as well. The one that struck Greenland, Arkansas, that was an EF2 tornado. That one caused some significant damage. And then there was another one in Lincoln to Prairie Grove. A lot of tornadoes there. And Nebraska had an EF1 as well in Dodge County. Let me drop. And that one destroyed campers and mobile homes.
And we had a small one here in Maryland not that long ago. I posted on your page there, KB3JQQ, right here in Baltimore.
KB3JQQ, Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-ray. When did you guys have that one? Are you talking about the one last year?
It was just a couple of days ago, right after you guys had that big storm you were talking about. Our weatherman had it on the weather, and I took a picture of the screenshot and put it on the SkyWide page. I forget which day it was, Friday or something, Friday or Saturday last week. KB3JQ.
Ah, KB3JQQ. Yeah, that was Friday, May 16th. Yes, that was an EF1. That one was between Baltimore and Dundalk, I believe. You know what? That one may not have... I should have put that one in the list. There's been so many. It's been very busy down there. So, yeah, you guys had one as well. I could go all day, but there were some more tornadoes on the 20th through the 24th. Alabama had one, and... there was some other severe weather in parts of Kentucky and stuff. So yeah, it's been very, very busy. I don't know what the total tornado count is right now, but it's obviously getting up there. This is typically the 18th through the 28th, 29th is the most active part of the tornado season for the U.S. So right in peak season right now. And before I forget, quickly, the Canadian wildfire situation. So the preparedness level, the NPL, National Preparedness Level, that's up to an elevated level, which is 3. And things aren't great at this point in time. There's 90 active wildfires right now across the entire country, and 29 of those are basically classified as uncontrolled. So that's creating some problems for containment. And today there have not been any new fires reported, but because it's a weekend, the CIFFC doesn't sometimes put out data. So year to date right now, the fires that we've had so far is 1,267, and normally there should be 1,230, so we're a little above average there. And the area burned year to date is 283,618 hectares. That's 11% of normal. So far, on the trend graph, I know that doesn't quite make sense, but normally we would get to about 400. I think Alpha 3 Victor is here. What's that noise? My dog is going nuts. Normally we'll get to 480,000, 452 hectares. That's the 10-year average. So we'll get up there, but it disregard the 11%. That's a typo on my part. But we're still about halfway to that, which is actually sort of alarming given that it's, early, and that data is of May 23rd. So it's not great. And, right now the fires that they're concerned about, are going to be the Kenora 20 fire. That one's still going. Kenora 14, Fort Francis Sioux Lookout, and in Manitoba they have some new fires, unfortunately. Fire EA-061, that's a Bird River fire. That one is approximately 101,000 hectares in size, and it's out of control. And the Ingolf fire, which is near the Ontario border, that one's 1,650 hectares, and it's on the Manitoba side, and that's merging with another fire that's burnt 32,000 hectares. And it's sort of crazy. I was looking at the satellite the other day, and there's still snow and ice cover on some of the lakes in northern Manitoba and northern Saskatchewan. Don't forget, the Prairie provinces they're very long. Their latitude stretches, it goes really far north. So you'll have summer in the south and then still maybe not winter, but you'll have less than summery conditions up in the north, especially as the lakes take a little bit longer to thaw out. So even in some of those places where there's still visible snow cover on the visible spectrum satellite imagery, they're getting fires over there, and that's because there's so much dry material that's being exposed as the snow melts away. Saskatchewan, 14 active fires, 7 are not contained, and 2 are under ongoing assessment. The Camp Wildfire, as of the May 23rd, that one's 42,000 hectares and is about 70% contained, so that's good. The Shoe Wildfire, that one's grown to 21,522 hectares as of today, and that one's still a real big problem. That one is largely out of control, and that one's threatening a number of places. Little Bear Lake Campground, they've been evacuated, and it's also threatening Narrow Hills Provincial Park, and additionally East Trout Lake. They've been evacuated due to the fire threatening to sever road access on Highway 927. Okay, and lastly, the BC data is a little behind for me, but at this point in time, there were 27 wildfires, 11 were classified as out of control. Most of them are believed to have been started by lightning at this point in time, which is good. But at this point in time, it seems like I couldn't get any information on any major evacuations in BC, which is good. But still, it's early there in the season. They have a lot of fires going right now, so that's not great. Quebec, they've only had 3 active fires, which is good. Alberta, as of May 23rd, they had 11 active fires this year, but I believe most are under control, and the rest of the provinces are good. Parks Canada only has 1 active fire being reported, and that one's 4 hectares in size, so it's small. This is Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-Ray. Okay, before I get into Mount St. Helens, any questions, comments, anything? Oh, and tropical weather, there's nothing to speak of at the moment. Okay, I guess that's it. Nobody wants to, no weather questions. Okay, Mount St. Helens, so I should have done this last week. I knew that it was the anniversary of Mount St. Helens. So Mount St. Helens erupted 45 years ago. It was an absolutely huge eruption, and it was it blew up in 1980 at approximately 8:30 in the morning, 8:32 if you want to be precise. And it was an absolutely huge eruption that hadn't happened to that mountain for approximately 2,300 years. So we'll get into all this. It was a cataclysmic eruption that happened on May 18th. Okay, so let's begin.
VE7 with a comment.
VE7, come on in. You broke up there for a split second, but come on in.
Yeah, Victor Echo 7, November Zulu. Adrian, sitting here on the deck, watching the sun head towards the horizon on Vancouver. Beautiful day out here. Just joined the net and started listening. Great job. Sorry I wasn't here earlier. But a little story about Mount St. Helens ash. When I was a young lad and we were driving down the States, we had a 1975 Plymouth Fury 3 station wagon with wood paneling on the sides. Yes, I was the envy of every guy in high school. And we pulled over into a parking lot off the I-5 to just change drivers once on a trip to California. My mom was going to take over. And it was where a whole bunch of volcanic ash had just been there. And it was clouded up and got sucked into the engine and basically ruined the entire car. So very, very fine dust. Back to net, V7NZ.
I thought that was you, Adrian. V7NZ, Victor Alpha 3, Victor Whiskey X-Ray. Did you guys end up finishing the journey? What happened after the volcanic ash created problems?
The car was kind of starved for gas, or air, I should say, for air. And we kept pulling into certain different stations to get them to fix it. We didn't figure out what it was till later. But yes, we did finish the journey, but boy, it cost a lot to try to diagnose it. And eventually they had to blow out everything. I'm not really an engines guy. I'm better with computers, but they they blew out all the lines and, of course, changed all the filters. And that solved it in the end, but it was it pretty much gummed up the works. There's my technical explanation.
Great. And you know what? Before I continue on, I meant to do this earlier. Is there anybody that's taking part in the ScienceNet currently that has any direct involvement or stories with Mount St. Helens? I'm going to cover the volcanology of it, the effects on the weather, and of course, I have a section dedicated to amateur radio and how amateur radio races and other groups, races areas, other groups were involved with the entirety of Mount St. Helens and the radio relays that were occurring with the USGS, the U.S. Geographic Survey. Is there anybody here that was involved in any way, shape, or form or affected by